We resume our readings in the Epistle to the Romans at the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8 at verse 1. And having dealt at length with the function and purpose of the law, and indeed the mystery of the working of the law in relation to the believer's life in chapter 7, and expressing the fact and reality of deliverance from the law through Jesus Christ, Paul goes on to say, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Now, the following words, "who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit," do not appear in the best manuscripts that are available and extant in the Epistle to the Romans. And the consensus of scholarship agrees that these words should not be here. If you look at verse 4, you'll find that they in fact appear again, "that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Now, we shouldn't be alarmed at the suggestion that we drop some words from the authorized version. I trust you will not imagine that I'm resting the scriptures, but a little consideration will make it, I think, clear that Paul couldn't have said these words at the end of this verse, because it doesn't make sense. It does make sense in verse 4, but not here. You see, Paul is making a statement. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus." That is an objective pronouncement, an objective fact about the gospel. On the same level as Romans 5 and 1, "being justified by faith, we have peace with God." And since justification is an act of God's free grace, as the Catechism reminds us, therefore condemnation, or the absolution from condemnation, is likewise an act of God's free grace and doesn't depend on anything that we do, or can do, or have done, or haven't done. And I think when we think of this verse in these terms, it becomes clear that, in fact, the better manuscripts are correct, and that the authorized version here is wrong. John Calvin, in his commentary, omits them altogether, without even explaining, as I have done, to you. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Now, let's read that verse again. "What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God has done by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He has, in fact, condemned sin in the flesh, dealt with sin in the flesh once for all, in order that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Flesh, of course, here is not to be identified with body. The flesh in Paul's teaching includes the spirit of fallen man. The flesh refers to the whole of fallen human nature as such, including what we speak of as flesh and spirit. Now, this is necessary to for us to remember for the very good reason that we've got to safeguard against any idea that Paul is teaching merely that sin dwells in the body, whereas the spirit is free from sin. This is the very antithesis of Paul's teaching. In fact, for him, sin begins in the spirit of fallen man. So that when we're thinking of the flesh here, it is the whole of fallen human nature as such. For they that are after the flesh, they that are in their natural state, do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death. To be carnally minded is death. The mind of fallen human nature is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the mind of the flesh, is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That is to say, the only thing that can be done with it is to do it to the death. You can't reform the mind of the flesh. You can't reform the carnal mind. You've got to slay it. And this, of course, is what God has done in the gospel. He condemned sin in the flesh. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We should be very grateful that Paul included this verse in the 8th chapter of Romans, because it makes us see very clearly and plainly that to have the Spirit is not an additional further stage of Christian life and experience, but quite fundamental and elemental. So much so that he can say, if a man hasn't the Spirit of Christ dwelling in him, he's not converted at all. To be converted means to have the Spirit. It is to be born of the Spirit, you see. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, which of course is the Holy Spirit, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now let me paraphrase that to try to bring out something of its meaning. We'll not be dealing with this tonight, but later on. If Christ be in you, although the body is dead because of sin, nevertheless, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. What Paul means by that is this, and we'll deal with it more fully another time. The fact that a man becomes a Christian doesn't mean that that man will never die in the physical sense. The new life that he has, as we've seen repeatedly, has to be lived in the old order. And even Christians die. And the fact that I become a Christian doesn't mean that my body is redeemed here and now. That comes later. The body is dead because of sin. And a prey to all the ills that may come to it, and finally a prey to death itself. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, then he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also in the end quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. One day, the Spirit of God dwelling in us will really overflow into the body and rejuvenate it and transfigure it and make it like unto his glorious body. That's Paul's thought. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit ye do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Amen. May God bless unto us the reading of his holy word.